Chapter 23. Tim, Julian, Dave, Cooper, and Chaz stood outside a cute little two-story cottage with cobblestone walls and a thatched roof. It was the sort of place that an irresponsible parent might send their daughter through a wolf-infested forest to deliver goodies to. This was no forest, though, and this cottage was one of the many places of business lining the street which seemed designed to invoke some sort of old-world fairy tale nostalgia. That's the gist Tim got, anyway. For all he knew, this was just the way shops were supposed to look in this world. It was a far cry from the area the Horse Head was located in, where you might only recognize a storefront due to a sign painted in blood on the back of a broken shield. The sign above the door they were currently looking at had been professionally crafted and was painted with large, friendly, pastel green letters on a purple background.
"Professor Goosewaddle's Potions and Scrolls Emporium," said Tim, reading the sign.
It was the 8th magic shop they'd been to, having been laughed out of the previous 7 for such a preposterous request, and the list of options was dwindling down to nothing. Tim steeled his nerves against what would most likely be another rejection as he led his friends through the beaded doorway.
"Welcome," said a soothing female voice, the source of which was nowhere to be seen in the dark and dusty shop, "to Professor Goosewaddle's Potions and Scrolls Emporium."
"Who's there?"
said Tim. He squinted his eyes as they adjusted from the bright light outside. Shelves lined the walls, stocked with glass bottles, clay jars, and steel scroll tubes. A quaint spiral staircase led up to the 2nd floor of the shop. Conspicuously absent, however, was a shop attendant to whom Tim could attribute the voice.
"Sleeping potions are on sale this week,"
the voice continued, as if Tim hadn't spoken.
"Get the rest you deserve. Completely safe and non-habit-forming. Now available in lemon flavor."
"Show yourself," said Tim.
He put his hand on the pommel of his sword just to reassure himself that it was there.
"Or perhaps we could interest you in a scroll of whispering wind. When you're far from home, you can still tell that special someone you care."
"I don't want a scroll of whispering wind, damn it."
"Feeling unattractive?"
"Fuck you."
"Why not try a potion of..."
The voice was cut short by 2 sharp claps. The source of this sound was also invisible, but at least it was coming from a discernible direction. Tim moved cautiously toward the counter. The clapping had come from the open doorway behind the counter, but the doorway was empty.
"Hello?"
said Tim. A white-bearded face popped up over the counter.
"Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Professor Goosewaddle. What can I brew for you today?"
Tim cleared his throat.
We need a spell cast on us," said Julian, who was at a better height to look him in the eye.
"Well, sirs," said the professor chirpily, "you've come to the right place."
He climbed all the way up onto the counter, revealing a stature no bigger than Tim's. He was a gnome. He sat with his feet dangling over the edge of the counter.
"What'll it be? Constitution? Night out with the whores? Want to keep your stamina up? That it?"
"What?" said Julian. "No, we..."
"Don't worry," the professor went on. "I get you young fellas in here all the time. Always too shy to just come right out and say what they want. There's no shame in it, boys. You think I haven't shacked up with a whore or two in my day? My transaction records are completely confidential. What happens at Professor Goosewaddle's Magic Emporium stays at Prof..."
"We need a teleport," said Tim.
Professor Goosewaddle frowned down at Tim.
"Oh, I'm sorry, my lad. That's just not the way teleport works. Teleport is a spell which the caster casts on himself, not another."
"I know how the spell works," said Tim. "It's been explained to us 7 times already today."
"So what made you think my explanation would be any different?"
"I don't know," said Tim. "I guess I was hoping you'd be smarter or more imaginative or just plain greedier."
The professor stroked his beard. Tim had his attention.
"Come into some money, have you, boys?"
Tim's eyes shifted involuntarily toward the bag of holding in Cooper's hand. He quickly looked back at the gnome on the counter.
"We've got some stashed away."
The lie fell flat. Professor Goosewaddle stared at the bag of holding. Shit. The professor looked at Tim and smiled.
"No need to fear, lads," he said. "I run an honest shop. I've got no desire to tangle with a bunch of young fellas at my age."
He sighed and adjusted his glasses.
"Let's just say I could cast the spell on you lads instead of myself. A few alterations of the incantation should sort that out well enough. But that's a bigger problem, you see."
Tim dared to get his hopes up just a bit. This was much further than he'd gotten with any of the other wizards and sorcerers he'd talked to today.
"What's the problem?"
Professor Goosewaddle pulled a comically long pipe out of his sleeve and lit the bowl with a snap of his fingers.
He took a few puffs to get it started.
The spell requires that one be intimately familiar with the desired destination. Are you planning to go somewhere I might have been before?
Tim frowned.
No, he said weakly. I don't think so.
Then I'm sorry, my boy. I just don't see how I can help you.
What about telepathy? Asked Julian. Everyone looked at him.
Go on, said the professor.
If you could read our minds while you cast the spell, could you be familiar enough with the destination?
Said
the gnome. He took a long drag on his pipe.
Clever lad! That's thinking outside the box. I'll admit you've provided me with an interesting challenge. I never could resist a puzzle.
Then you'll do it?
Asked Tim, perhaps a bit too eagerly.
I'll consider it. It'll be complicated for certain, if not impossible, so no promises, you understand?
Of course, said Tim.
Give me the night to think it over.
Anything you want, said Tim,
already shoving Cooper toward the doorway.
And I expect to be paid for my effort,
the professor called out after them as they scrambled out the door.
Don't spend all your money on the whores!
Tim exited the shop in high spirits, but that faded when he saw a tall, lanky figure lurking near an alley about two blocks away, pretending to not be looking at them. He'd seen this person outside of at least two of the magic shops they'd been to earlier in the day. Twice could be dismissed as mere coincidence. Maybe the guy was just browsing the magic shops, looking for an enchanted ring, but not a third time. Anyway, this guy wasn't shopping, he was spying. When it came to people who would want to spy on this group, Tim had a very short list of suspects. He could rule out Pestilence. That half-orc could pick his tusks with this skinny bastard. Frank had said the wizard who'd blown the place up called himself War. The guy lurking in an alley was no wizard. Tim knew a rogue when he saw one. If Tim remembered Revelations correctly, that left only famine and death. He had a pretty good idea which one this was.
Famine!
Tim shouted. The figure jumped like he just licked a wall socket.
That's one of them! Cried Tim.
One of who?
Asked Cooper.
The fucking horseman, you dolt!
Oh!
Said Cooper. He put his hand on his axe. Tim put his hand on Cooper's arm, but kept his eyes on Famine. Strangely enough, the lanky rogue neither advanced nor fled. Tim guessed he was waiting for them to make the first move, knowing he could easily outrun them if it came to that.
Listen, said Tim, just loud enough for his friends to hear him.
He tried not to move his lips when he spoke.
Don't look now. There's an inn about a block behind us and across the street. Dave and Julian, you're going to get a room there. Understood?
Okay, said Julian.
Cooper, Tim continued, you're going to chase that skinny bastard until you lose him.
Suppose I catch him,
said Cooper.
Don't, said Tim. Just let him go. Whatever you do, don't follow him into an alley or anything. He'll be extremely dangerous once he's out of your line of sight. Just follow him until you lose him, and then join Julian and Dave in the inn. The three of you sit tight and don't make a fucking peep.
What are you going to do?
Asked Dave.
I'm going to sneak off and tell Frank the plan. Then I'll join you back at the inn.
Why don't we all go see him together?
Asked Dave.
Famine saw us coming out of this magic shop, said Tim. He saw us looking excited. I want to keep an eye on this place until we're all set to go.
Famine was looking fidgety, as if he was considering making the first move after all. That wouldn't do.
Are you ready?
Asked Tim.
Just a sec, said Julian. We have a plan?
I'm going to tell Frank about Professor Goosewaddle and that Famine spotted us. I'm going to tell him to hold tight and that if this works, we'll see about getting our hands on those magic dice and getting all of them back home. Time is running out. Cooper, are you ready?
Yeah.
Go!
Blah!
Said Cooper, running like a rabid gorilla toward the rogue. Famine bolted down the street. Tim thought that was odd. He would have chosen the alley.
Okay,
said Tim, as soon as he had lost sight of Famine.
You two, go!
Julian and Dave made their way to the inn. Tim ducked down a side street and made his way back to the Horse Head.